Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are things going with you this Hydro weekend?
Well, if you've ever tried to fix a parking brake with a pair of ice grips, that's my random thought for the day.
You had a fun morning, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I bet you there's going to be a lot of ice grips used on those boats in and out this weekend for sure.
Yeah, my favorite's the vintage ones, the loud ones.
Yes, we've also got with us Mr. Tom Coyne from Sterling, our in-house resident expert lender. Tom, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm excited for boat races this weekend, Lance.
Yeah, it is a great, great time. In fact, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today because you just can't help talk about it. It is a real estate show, but, I mean, the single largest event in the Tri-Cities, a great showcase for our community. So we're going to chat about that a little bit. First, though, on the real estate side, we always like to get our celebrity property in. What's going on? And I tell you what, it is a big one this week. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill have listed, they have a 753-acre parcel that's part of their, we'll just call it their Tennessee kingdom. And they have listed that thing on the market for $20 million. It has four residences, a 12-stall barn with a caretaker's apartment, and I mean 753 acres. So crazy, crazy property. They bought this home and its acreage in 2001 for $8.75 million at the time. It was only 400 acres, but they have gobbled up some of the surrounding properties and added to it. One of the residents is kind of your classic Tennessee-built type antebellum home. Another one is a log home on the property that's built in, they call it the Greek Revival style, kind of like 1850s. So crazy, crazy property. Pastures, ponds, rolling hills. I didn't know about this, but actually, I'm always kind of monitoring the comments. When I looked at the Facebook comments on this, apparently this was some sort of Tim McGraw Faith Hill Mecca. They live, their primary residence is a home that they custom built in Nashville, but this was kind of like where everybody would go to see the McGraw Faith Hill type compound because they would go out there, take pictures. So it's crazy. There must have been 20 Facebook posts underneath like, oh, I'm so sad it's on the market or it's going to sell. So interesting. It'll be interesting to look and see what an estate like that type of property ends up selling for.
Well, really, that's for 734 acres, 20 million, all that stuff. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Every market's local, and I couldn't even tell you. I could tell you what it was in Tri-Cities, McKay. But in that market, I would have to do a lot more research. I'm interested to see. I mean, it is a gorgeous looking area.
I can imagine. I bet Tim was out there doing some deer hunts.
Yeah, just kind of riding the four wheelers around. I mean, you can really picture it. It definitely looked like a
mowing the lawn. I'll be back in a week.
He probably wasn't mowing his own yard.
Yeah.
A fun place for sure.
Get out the combine.
Okay, so let's talk about this event. Let's talk about Water Follies in the Tri-Cities. It's great. I love every time I do the research for this show, I come across new resources and stuff I've never even known about. Tri-Cities Water Follies info. So if you go to the Tri-Cities Water Follies homepage, they have some amazing info about Tri-Cities, about the history of the race, and the hydroplanes, and you look all over our community, you see it everywhere. In fact, as I was preparing for the show, I even noticed, you look at the Mid-Columbia directory this year, it's got a hydroplane picture on the front of it.
Yep.
So it's really, iconic to the Tri-Cities. A lot of people have visited here seen the community and then made that decision to move on weekends like this. So Tom, let's put you on the spot a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Well, first of all, why don't you tell me the first year the Atomic Cup was ran officially?
You know, I'm going to say 50 years ago.
1956.
I was pretty close.
You're pretty close.
Pretty close. On the website, for the Waterfowlies website, they list it at 1966.
That's right. The Atomic Cup.
Atomic Cup. Okay. When it was called that, 1966. Now, I'm sure there could be some unofficial races.
57th year, then, since it's been running?
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, got to be. So, who do you think the winner was of that first race?
I wasn't even a twinkle in my parents' eyes at that time.
I would go with Bill Muncy, but...
You know what? It is listed as... And this is just iconic. Everybody will remember these days. Miss Budweiser, Bernie Little.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He used to be a driver before he
little
took over.
Little bit of Waterfowlies history there, for sure. Straight off of the Waterfowlies website.
And did you know the original Atomic Cup trophy had a tiny, almost inert pellet of uranium embedded in it?
I did not know that. All right, yeah, I wonder if I've heard that. I think I have heard that somewhere, but I totally forgot about that. That is awesome.
That is really fantastic. Cool.
Okay, here we go. So, average daily temperature of this event over the years?
97.
McKay, you going to weigh in on this?
96.
You know what? It's a little bit lower than that. 89 degrees. Huh. Low is 61. I do remember there were some cold years.
A few years back. I do remember that.
A few years back. Where it definitely was a little chilly for sure. But
back in the 90s, I remember,
yep.
80s, there were a couple times we had some blowtorches.
There was a couple times for sure. One of the things, though, that's just crazy is it's a great showcase for the Tri-Cities. When you look at it, I mean, you see it advertised and it really comes in true. We really are a community with 300 days of sunshine. With the Columbia River, the Yakima River, the Snake River. I mean, it really makes this kind of a showcase. It really is an aquatic playground. And the boats and on the river and thunder out there on the river, it really shows, kind of showcases that. Recently, Tri-Cities, you know, in the past couple of years, ranked by Kiplinger as one of the top 10 best places to raise a family. CNN Money's ranked it as one of the top 10 best bets for gains in housing value the last couple of years. So combined with everything that we have going on here and the family atmosphere that they've really turned the races into, you know, over the last 10 years, great, great showcase to our community. Love having everybody here. Super excited about all the visitors to our community that are out there listening. So we really appreciate you coming. And one of the things that happens, and we started to see this a lot, and it's not just with events like this, but recently we've seen the national housing market kind of start to recover a little bit. There's been some gains back in the communities that have lost value. They're regaining value. We've heard about the markets on the west side of the state. We've talked to those agents, Seattle, Portland, some of those markets starting to get real healthy again. Well, when that happens, the Tri-Cities many times becomes kind of a benefactor of those increases. If we remember and look back in the market, you know, 5-6 years ago in the Tri-Cities, tons and tons of California buyers selling in equity positions in California, Seattle, Portland, markets that have had a lot of appreciation, and then bringing that equity and that money to our community that has a lower cost of living index.
Mm-hmm.
So as the national market starts to recover, we're starting to see that. We always try to bring what's happening in our local market and bring it to the show. So one of the things I wanted to go over, because in the last 2 weeks, twice buyers for our properties here have been from that California market where they were selling. So it's recovered enough that people are able to regain some of their equity positions, make those sales there. In both cases, those folks were moving here to be closer to family. How did they do it? That's one of the things that people say, gosh, you know what? I came down. I was visiting my family in Tri-Cities. I came down for the hydroplane races, you know, and I want to make that move to Tri-Cities because the cost of living is lower. The services are fantastic. They have 300 days of sunshine. This is going to be a great place to retire and or a great place to move to and finish raising our family. One of the things that we always advocate with people is have a plan of knowing where you want to go. Spending a little time to check out those areas. Many times for Battelle, Cadillac, Bechtel, we'll do community tours for people. When they come and interview for the jobs here, many times our team will take those folks out, do community tours with them. We have 3 deals going right now from those community tours. So when they're here doing their interview, when you go to those other communities, go ahead, get with an agent and that knows the area. It's best if they've even been a lifetime resident. Most of our team members have been in Tri-Cities their entire life, so we have a lot of knowledge about the area. Get a community tour and start to get a feel for the neighborhood you want to be in. That helps tremendously. Then, especially, if you have a house to sell where you're coming from, you need to get that house listed on the market. In one of the instances this week, we were looking at this and not only get it listed because it always, we've talked about on the show. In fact, last week's show was about getting your house listed for the early fall market. Well, there's a reason why I'm talking about that in the end of July, the 1st of August, because you probably need a month or a month and a half to do that. Once you get that house listed, then really start to narrow down your search areas in Tri-Cities where you're coming to. Many times we'll sit down with people and set out, they call them geographic maps, in our search criteria. Once you've looked around a little bit and said, you know what, I really want to focus on South Richland. I really want to be around Southridge in the new development by Kennewick, or I really want to be in West Pasco because that's where my kids live. What we can do is we can set geographic fences on our search criteria, draw around those boundaries, and then you'll only be updated with new listings that come up in those areas. So that is huge. And then once your house gets under contract, that's when you can get very, very serious. When we come back, we're going to come up against our first hard break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about lending. And then we're going to talk about buyers being competitive with a pending sale addendum or, worse, a contingency addendum. We'll talk about the benefits of both, what sellers are looking at from their end of things, and maybe talk a little bit more hydro history when we come back.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Back to the Water Follies edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. It is Hydro Weekend here, and so...
John, is that your hydro voice?
Nice, I love it. We know everybody's probably headed down that direction or thinking about it at some point this weekend, so definitely be safe and have a great time. One of the biggest weekend in Tri-Cities as far as visitors that come.
And a big shout out to Sam Weston and Hapo too, the Over the River Air Show and all that.
Fantastic stuff going on. So all of you folks from out of town tuned in here, talking a little bit about real estate. You see something you like this weekend and decide, you know what? Tri-Cities is the place to be. Let's do this. So we've got with us our resident in-house expert lender. We got Mr. Tom Coyne at Sterling. Tom, talk to me about the money side of things with making a move and what's going on with you guys at Sterling.
Well, quite often we have clients coming in from out of town to take a new job, and they're often looking to purchase a home right away. What some people don't realize is that there are rules we have to follow in order to qualify these borrowers for financing. Lance, we actually have a mutual client we're helping right now in this situation that the husband and wife both took a job at Battelle.
Yep, exactly.
So we have some flexible guidelines that allowed us to help them out. So there's a few challenges we have to overcome when people are taking on new positions in the area. The first one is, how stable and reliable is the employment? Generally, employment of less than 12 months is not considered stable and reliable. However, there are circumstances that will allow us to deem a position stable. If a borrower has been doing the same position at a different employer over the last several years, and now they transfer into the area with a new employer, and they're getting a set salary, a guaranteed amount of hours, we can allow it to close with minimal time on the job. So this will be, an example would be some guy was an engineer down in California, and he moves up to the area, and he's going to be an engineer here. So typical salary position.
Right, but if he was going to come up here and become a wine grape grower, that might not work for you guys.
That would not fall into stable and reliable.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I get it.
So we'll have to verify with the employer that the likelihood of continued employment is high. As long as they'll verify that, we're good to go with that respect. The next challenge we have is the requirement of having 30 days of earnings on a pay stub. Every loan program out there requires that we get 30 days of earnings on a pay stub before we'll close that loan. If you're starting a new job, you will likely skip that first pay period, and you won't get your first paycheck for 3 or 4 weeks after you start the job. Then it's probably another 2 weeks before you're able to get a pay stub with 30 days of earnings on it. So if you're moving into the area expecting to buy a house right away, you may actually find yourself in a situation where you're having to rent for a month and a half or 2 months to be able to get that pay stub. Now, there we can get around this, and what we do is what's called a held for sale. On a held for sale, the borrower must at least start their job prior to closing the loan. We can hold the loan, meaning we don't transfer it to the secondary market. So that's some of the stuff that happens behind the scenes.
That makes sense. Okay.
Sold. So we hold it, don't transfer it to the secondary market, and we'll wait for these 30 days of pay subs to come in, as long as the underwriter believes that the file is strong enough to consider the income. Now, this isn't allowed on all types of loan programs, and the file must be very, very strong in order to do this.
Well, because that's a lot of risk for Sterling.
Yep, exactly.
Because if something happens and they don't get those pay subs, then you, instead of Sterling being able to resell that loan on the secondary market, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, we're keeping it on our books and fingers crossed that payment's going to get made.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, very few lenders will even take on this risk, but Sterling does, and we actually do very often under certain circumstances. So there can be absolutely no question as to when that first pay stub comes in, and it is the responsibility of the client to get us that pay stub as soon as they receive it after closing. Now, different scenario. Let's say we have a borrower who just graduated from nursing school in Pullman, and they move into town, and they accept a 40-hour-a-week position at Cadillac. So even though they don't have a history in this line of work, we will accept that degree towards their employment history. Perfectly acceptable. Where it might not be acceptable, though, is if they're hired as, say, a per diem employee, which a lot of medical professionals are when they come out of school. Now, per diem pay doesn't guarantee a set amount of hours or salary, so there's no way for us to determine what the average pay over the year or two will be without some sort of history of it. So in this situation, we would have to wait for a 1.5-2 years history to be able to accept this work. So that's how that differs from a guaranteed 40 hours versus a per diem position.
Gotcha.
So another type of employment that would require some sort of work history is, let's say, a commission income. A guy could have been extremely successful, high-producing salesman, say, in California. But when he comes up to the Tri-Cities, takes a new position in a new market, there's no way we can determine that the income he was making down there is going to transfer here. So, again, this is another situation where you're not going to be able to get in the home right away. You're going to need some sort of history.
So, a guy like me, I got problems.
You will.
Okay. real estate, commission income. So, yes. And luckily for a guy like me, I'm not moving markets. Lifetime agent here. But if somebody was an agent, new agent coming up here, had been very successful in California, it'd be difficult for them to verify that track record until they've been here for a couple of years.
Exactly. There's no way to tell how successful that person will be in this market.
So we've ran into that a lot personally. I've helped a lot of folks at McCurley and car sales, and they've moved, you know, from markets like Yakima and surrounding areas, and sometimes we do have to wait a couple months before we can get them into a house.
A car salesman, I have been able to get a couple through with short history. I had a gentleman coming from Coeur d'Alene, I believe, and he had been a salesman for 7 or 8 years, and we were able to demonstrate that he's not going out and getting his business. The business is coming to him, and then he's able to sell. So we waited just a few months to get some sort of history under his belt, and we didn't have to wait a full 1 or 2 years because he did have a long history of being.
Excellent. Okay, good. And this is another reason why people really need to bring these scenarios to you. Come into your office, sit down with you, and or give you a call and say, here's what we're dealing with.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can go over all this stuff up front so you know what to expect, and you're not trying to backtrack after the fact. So the last thing I want to go over is when someone is keeping their current home and purchasing a new home. A lot of people that accept positions in town don't have the luxury of waiting to move until their current house sells. A lot of times these new jobs start and the borrower is required to move before they sell their current home. So in this situation, the borrowers must qualify for the new loan with both house payments against them. They must also have, and this is a big one, 6 months reserves for both properties. Now, a reserve is just, if I lost my job today, how many months of payments do I have in the bank? So if a house payment is $1,000 and the client has $2,000 in the bank, they have 2 months reserves. Again, they'll need 6 months of reserves for both homes, but we can count retirement towards this.
Okay.
And that helps a lot. A lot of people have a 401k, and we'll just get a statement for that, and it'll satisfy the requirement. Now, this isn't money they have to use. They just have to show what's available. Now, lastly, when people move into the new home and then sell their previous home post-closing, they often have a chunk of equity they want to put down on the new home. A lot of people want to see their payments go down after they apply this principal payment, or they say they want to see the mortgage insurance drop off. Now, principal and interest payments on most loans never change throughout the life of the loan, regardless if you pay a big chunk of principal down. But when this money is applied, all they're doing is drastically cutting off time of the loan. Now, Sterling will allow clients to re-amortize their loan after they've paid down the mortgage with those proceeds. So if someone had, say, a $200,000 starting loan and later applied $75,000 to the balance when they sold their existing home, we'll recalculate those payments off the new balance of $125,000.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, it's just like if they had closed the home simultaneously and used those proceeds as down payment. So that's a huge thing. It really helps a lot of people out. And I don't know a lot of banks that do that, but Sterling will. You just have to pay it down 10% of the balance, and we'll allow that. So taking on new positions and new areas certainly brings on an entirely new set of rules and circumstances that people need to know about before they make the move. So it's really important to work with an experienced loan officer who knows all these rules.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we talked about is when people are making those moves, how are they making those offers here once they have a sale on their property from where they're coming from? Well, there's a very important document that gets attached to those offers, and that is buyer's pending sale contingency. So we have a form that gets attached to our contracts that states, you know, this sale is contingent upon the successful close of the buyer's home at 123 Strawberry Lane, Tucson, Arizona, and on or before. So they have to put down the address, when that closing date of that home is, and then upon successful closing of that sale, they will then finish the sale up here. For many reasons, like you just talked about, because many times to get the new home here, it's going to be a requirement of the loan that the old house is closed. So that really is designed for those reasons that Tom was just talking about on the money side of things. What it does, too, it's also a protection for the buyer, because if something fails with their sale in Tucson, in this example, then they're no longer obligated to go through with the sale here. At that point, they would have to cancel, and then they would be entitled to their earnest money back if they have this contingency in place and it was stated that it was refundable. So that is a huge, huge thing. One of the things that we are doing is when we get offers like that and we're evaluating that, a buyer's pending sale offer is way less riskier for a seller than for, say, a contingent upon a buyer's home selling, meaning they don't even have a contract on it. So contingent upon it selling versus contingent upon it closing, very, very different. One of the nice things that we're always evaluating is when we do get a contract with that. I just did it last week. I called the other agent. What's the status of the contingent sale? Has the contingent sale gone through inspections? Were there any other contingencies on that contingent sale? And so we really like to get a feel of how the other sale is going before we make a decision about an offer here. So those are a bunch of the things that you are having to evaluate. However, we are usually very, very excited about seeing a pending sale contingency. We do our due diligence and our research on it to make sure it matches up. But sellers did many times understand that a lot of times they're selling to an out-of-town buyer or a move-up buyer, and that is just something that will have to be considered. So that form is a great protection for the buyers. It's also a great indication to sellers that things are moving forward. I've got to pick three here. I've told you we've been putting on amazing new inventory. The pick three, though, is turning into a pick two because I was notified as I was coming that late last night we sold one of the pick threes. So I had prepared with that one. But that is
a good problem to have.
It is sold. Yeah, there was a beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath home over in Kennewick that we sold, three-car garage. Sold in really 2 days. And so multiple offers. So fantastic, fantastic deal. Got some happy sellers over there. two other new listings that we've put on the market. We're going out to Horn Rapids in this. All of you that are here for the water follies and the boat races and you like to golf, here is a house right on the course at Horn Rapids. This is 2888 Crosswater Loop. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath house, 2,250 square feet. And I tell you what, the first time I saw this house, I thought it was just a model home. I mean, it was built in 2010, and it looks like it's just been the model. These owners keep it just pristine. Shows just absolutely gorgeous. It's got high ceilings, lots of windows, a great covered patio, just super, super great home for entertaining. And you look out the back window, and you don't have to do any of that maintenance. The course is always maintained and looks gorgeous. It's just like it's your own lawn, Tom. So fabulous, fabulous place. 2888 Crosswater Loop, on the market for $325,000 right on the course. So that is a fantastic listing if anybody wants to check that out. Another great listing. We're going back across the river to Pasco. We've got a three-bedroom, three-bath, two-story with a three-car garage, just over 2,000 square feet. And this house was built in 2004. It is 4112 Artesia. And this house is priced at $205,000. I tell you what, folks, you can't build it for that. They've had me price it with the comps of new construction, but you're getting the complete yard done. You're getting all the blinds. You're getting a lot of upgrades that you won't see in the new construction because these sellers have priced it very, very well. So that's 4112 Artesia, 2,070 square feet, and priced at $205,000. I tell you what, there is some fantastic inventory out there, great houses to show people. More importantly, just be safe this weekend. Be safe in the water. Be safe on the road. Have a great time. If you need help, don't forget to call somebody. If you have any questions about real estate, you can always catch us at kenmoreteam.com. And Tom, on the money side, how should people get a hold of you?
You can reach me anytime on my cell phone at 430-1305 or check out my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
All right, sounds good. Everybody enjoy the hydros and have a great weekend.
And we'll see you next week right here on News Talk 870.